Yo, what up? Welcome to Free Refills Podcast, where we come together as youth leaders to discuss the realities of leading in youth ministry. I'm your host, Boss. I'm coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dusty.
What's up? Bad.
Coming to you from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Our hope here is that you are refilled, refueled, and re-energized to carry on in youth ministry. Each episode, we have a special guest join us, and today we have John Brown joining us. John, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to this.
We are too, John. Before we jump into the conversation, let's do a little bit of get to know you. So tell us about yourself, like where are you located? Tell us about your family and how long you've been in ministry.
Yeah, so located in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Made the news a few times this last year, unfortunate reasons, but that's led to some incredible opportunities for the church to be the light and to love on people. So it's been incredible to tackle those challenges, not just our church, but the church together. So it's been incredible to see what God's doing, even through such tragic events. So Kenosha, Wisconsin is sandwiched right between Milwaukee and Chicago. So our church is half Bears fans, half Packers fans. So you know how that can go. So being a Minnesota Vikings fan, I'm the least hated of the two. So I'm kind of like tolerated here at Journey Church. So Journey Church is a multi-site church. We have campuses both in Illinois and Wisconsin. And we have, I almost said that like a Wisconsin. but we also have a campus in Lithuania. And my wife and I are celebrating this year, this fall, actually 20 years at Journey Church. So we oversee all ages 0 to 30 across all of our campuses. So my official title is Executive Pastor over Next Gen Ministries. So essentially, the fancy way of saying that is, or the less fancy way of saying that is, I'm a youth pastor to the youth pastors, and I get to pastor our kids pastors and our young adult team as well. And they're amazing. Honestly, they're just an incredible team. So my wife and I are college sweethearts, and we have three girls. Two of them happen to be in our youth ministry. So I guess one could say I'm living the dream, because I always dreamed of this day, and one's in high school, one's in middle school. So pretty amazing to be a part of a team that is ministering to my own kids. And so really grateful for the team that we have in place to do that. So I have a unique perspective in some ways on that. So
that's legit. That's super cool. Super cool to hear all of that. We're excited to jump into this conversation with you and talk about building better teams. Dusty, you've got a few questions to get rolling.
Yeah, before we get into like the main topic, we just want, again, more people to know you better. So we have some two silly questions that you could just answer quickly, unless you want to dissect them, of why you choose those. And then the third is kind of more of something a little bit more serious. One, you know, being Free Refills, what is your favorite drink of choice if it's not water?
Yeah, water would be my first go-to. Cheers.
I'm with you. I got you. Got the gallon. There you go. I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm pounding gallons of water. Not gallons. A gallon would be kind of where I stop. Otherwise, I'm up all, or I'm running to the bathroom all day, right? But I'm a coffee drinker. I like lattes. I'd like to go the healthier versions of lattes, though. So, you know, oat milk, almond milk, whatever. So yeah, right now oat milk honey latte from Starbucks will do. Depends on, I mean, most of you would know that one. You're not going to know probably the more specialty ones in our city coffee shops, but yeah, I like to go study or work on messages there. So that would be, I would say, give me another latte. That's what I'd refill up on.
There you go. Okay. So because, you know, not a local joint where you're at, but like, you know, across the country, best chicken sandwich between Popeyes and Chick-fil-A?
Whoo, that's a fun question.
Come on.
I would have said Chick-fil-A all day, and then I had the Popeyes chicken sandwich, and I can't say that anymore. So I'm going to go Popeyes. It does not compare.
It's service. It makes you a believer. It makes you a believer. Yeah, you have to try it.
It does. I see a little bit between the two of you. It looks like there's a little disagreement.
I can't speak to it because I haven't had the Popeyes at all. I haven't, and it's not that I've steered clear of it. I just haven't thought I need to go get it. So
he's a late adapter to
on this. I think the chicken sandwich is like, I just have the experience of, I know how to do the online ordering through Chick-fil-A and the curbside pickup. So I've got that down pat, just ready to go. So
yeah. Absolutely. Can I jump in and challenge Boss to have that by the next episode of the Refills podcast?
100%.
Come on.
100%. We'll make sure we send it to you to make sure you hear the first part of it.
Yes.
I always say if I'm having a bad day, of course I want to go spend time at Chick-fil-A. They're going to make me feel good. But if I just want a really good chicken sandwich and someone probably not to treat me super great, I'll probably go to Chick-fil-A. Okay. So more serious, what book are you reading right now or just getting done that you would say, yo, this is something you guys need to go pick it up. If you're listening to this, pick this book up.
Yeah. I'm in the middle of a book called Chasing Vines actually right now by Beth Moore. Our pastor spoke on John chapter 15. And at the beginning, this would have been the beginning of February. And I've always loved that passage, but I wanted to just do some deeper study. And I'd heard really good things from a couple of friends about that specific book. And so I'm at the tail end of it and have a couple others that I'm going to be picking up. But one of them I'm going to pick back up that I would highly recommend. I'm going to read it round two. I read it last year, right around this time. And it is called, I'm all of a sudden drawing a blank on it. It's That Good. Gotta love how you think of that. I'll think of it and I'll tell you, but Chasing Vines is phenomenal. If you want to dive into John chapter 15, doesn't just look at the vine, but the soil and all the other things that surround it. It's a phenomenal breakdown on the passage and brings a lot of light to it. So, yeah.
Sweet. That's legit. That's awesome. We'll make sure to get those titles. Once you remember the title of the other one, we'll drop all that stuff in the show notes too, so people can reference that. So today's conversation, we're talking about building better teams. The reason why, at least from my perspective, this is important is because it impacts everything, and the way our team is structured, the people that are involved, the way that we do teams, it impacts ultimately students who we're trying to minister to. It also impacts the leaders that serve the students. And so we wanted to talk with you, John, especially after you dropped that nugget of like, yeah, I get to basically pastor youth pastors, which resonates with our hearts as NNYM staff, because that's what we do around the country. And it's going to be cool to hear you talk about this, but then also building not only staff members, but then also volunteers as well. Because how we do that, the way we do it, it's all important. So to start us off, question to just get the conversation rolling, from your words, why is it important to build a better team?
Yeah, such a great question, such a great conversation. Honestly, look forward to the, not just the podcast, but and the feedback and how it helps people, but the conversation after. I love that you guys are doing this right now on Clubhouse as well. And the book that I could not remember is called The Slight Edge. The Slight Edge. And it's all about the power of daily habit, doing small things incrementally over time. So I started that book last year and was challenged to read 10 pages a day. And I kept that going for 365 days. Reading 10 pages a day is not a lot of time. But if you read 10 pages a day for 365 days, there's a lot of power in that, right? So I think honestly, that really flows well into building better teams. To your question, I think sometimes we want to have, I mean, we want bigger teams, we want better teams, we want more quality teams. I see Michael's on here. He actually has an Instagram account about building better teams. So he would be a great guy to speak to that. But I would just say that we really want to focus on all of those, but I think we start focusing on all of those by starting small and really leaning in and doing the daily incremental. So one of the ways that we do that as a team, and something that I'm working on for this next year, is what we are calling a MAP, a monthly action plan for our next gen pastors. We use the app Leader, L-E-A-D-R, and we are putting the map on that particular app so that when we go into meetings, I know what some of the metrics are that our team is wanting to hit. I'm not telling them what to do. I'm hearing what their goals are, and they have, we have metrics that we measure, but one of those is building our leadership team. And so I want to know how many people they plan on meeting with for coffee hangs or lunch hangouts, not just the current leadership that we have, but potential leaders, future leaders, I'll call them, right? And so the map, the monthly action plan, lets me know how many of those are they going to do one a week? Are they going to do two a week? And I get to know how many people they're planning on spending time with. And obviously in this time of post-COVID, we're not really in post-COVID, but as we begin to look forward, right, and begin to move in some new directions, I think all of us would say we need to build our teams back up, right? We've seen some people stop volunteering. I'm sure we're not the only ones. And so with that comes an opportunity to build stronger teams, to build better teams, to put more people on the team. And one of the ways that I have trained for a very long time, specifically in the area of volunteers, I know this is two questions, right? There's staff and there's volunteers. I'm going to hit the volunteers piece first, if I can do that. But on the volunteer side, we are trying to, we have something called Growth Track at our church. And so we have people go through Growth Track. That's one of their first steps as they start coming to our church during church. And so we get a list of names through that. And we meet with people not only through that, but we will see people on a weekend. We'll walk slowly through the crowd, whether it be parents or young adults or grandparents. It does not matter. And we just invite them to a lunch or to coffee. Hey, I'd like to hear your story. So we just start there. I just want to hear your story. When we do that, I try and train our team to not go into it having a set place that they want to put that person. Of course, we want amazing small group leaders, so we can automatically go, hey, they're going to be a great small group leader. But as we sit down with them, we're asking them, tell us your story. And usually the question is, well, what do you mean? What part of my story? Just tell us the whole story, whatever part you want to tell us, just tell us your story. And usually when you leave it open-ended like that, you begin to hear passions come out. So there's something so powerful. I love these because when you hear people's stories, that's why I love being a part of baptisms, because that's the way I start off the baptism class, is hearing people's story. That's what keeps all of us, for me, that's what I love ministry for, is hearing people's story. And in the midst of really, truly listening and hearing their story, we begin to hear them unpack their passions. And we ask those questions as well. Tell me about some of your passions. What makes you tick? What do you dream about for the church, for reaching people with the gospel? What are some of the things that keep you up at night? Pain points, maybe part of their story is some painful things they went through. I had some painful things that really fire me up and are part of my passion. And Craig Rochelle has a really good book on this called Chazon, spelled C-H-A-Z-O-W-N. And it's about, that's the Hebrew word for vision, finding God's vision for your life. And so there was a period of time where we actually had leaders do that. And part of that is spiritual gifts, but it's also defining your mission, your values. And so in that, we've learned to ask great questions about those pain points and about those passion points. And what ticks you off, right, spiritually. And in those conversations, we may find this person is not a good fit for the youth ministry, but they're a really good fit for the kids ministry. Like when they talk about kids, they get fired up. So we're a next gen team. We're not selfish and saying, hey, I had my mindset. You're going to be a great youth volunteer. You're going to lead great youth small groups. No, we're looking for them to find their fit, because we do them a disservice and we do ourselves a disservice if we put people into positions that are not a part of their passion and their purpose. So really, it's about them. It's not about us. It's not about our ministry.
Yeah. So, okay. You said something there that really resonates with me, which was, one, inviting people into a conversation where you basically, you probably feed them something and then you sit there and ask them questions and they just kind of unpack, which is an incredible way to recruit, if you will, which is going to lead to a whole another question here in a second. But I was going to ask you, and then you said it, about finding people's passions and then finding what they're passionate about and placing them in that spot, rather than having a designated, like, we need check-in volunteers or we need small group leaders. Why that? Why not that? Why is that the way that you approach it? Because you've learned something along the way. I know that there's something there. You were like, we probably did it one way and we've shifted and started it doing this way and we like it better. So why is that the best approach that you've found, rather than we need small group leaders, so let's just go fish for small group leaders?
Yeah. I mean, that is the temptation. We've all done it. We've all gone into a conversation with preconceived notions and, man, I'm going to recruit this guy and it's going to be great, or this young lady or whatever. So I still have to resist that urge. I go into that conversation making it about them. We have done that before. We place people, and people are ready and wanting to serve. So we can place them in a spot. And the reason why, the pain point is that they end up being unfulfilled and not volunteering again. Right? Then instead, when we can put them into their passion and their purpose, then it's really, again, it's really the servant heart of Jesus to say, I see something in you. As you've shared your story, you've unpacked it. I see something in you. I see God's hand on your life in this area. I want to be a door opener for you. I might not even be over that area. They might say, I really have a passion for helping feed people who are less fortunate. Well, I know people at our church, and I'm gonna be a door opener for you. And then I even dream with them, as you begin to do this and begin to volunteer in these areas, what if we could dream up a ministry where students could be more involved? Would you be willing to be a point person to help get students to make that part of their passion and organizing their serving? So we could do both, right? And so it's listening. It's also knowing your ministry. One thing that we have done here for a lot of years running, we call it post-it note brainstorming. And I've talked about this on Clubhouse before, where we will sit down in either whiteboard or post-it note. I like the post-it notes for this reason. You'll hear me unpack it in just a moment. I got to get my refills here. But we will dream up, if our ministry could have endless volunteers, if our ministry could do new things that we haven't been doing, and that's real easy to do coming out of, you know, what we've been in, right? If we could just imagine it brand new and we could make it anything we wanted it to be, we could dream big and there was no limitations on volunteers, what positions would we have? You know, early years, you were like, we didn't have a cafe of any kind. So it's like, man, we'd love to have a cafe that students, you know, love to just sit around and hang out at, like just a place where, because great conversations happen, like love to serve some nicer coffee there, you know, for some of the older students, like actually feel like a coffee house so they don't have to go to Dunkin' Donuts before service or whatever, right? So you dream those things up. You dream up a security team because you realize that you don't want to be the one constantly correcting students. You want to take better care of your guests when they come in the door. So you dream up, you put each of these on a post-it note, like guest services director, head of security, cafe director, right? And then as you post-it noting, you're putting one on each post-it note, you're just putting them up all on the wall, right? You want the wall filled with post-it notes because you're dreaming big. And no limitations. You're not allowed to say, well, we don't have that, or we can't have that. Here's the beauty of that. When you're sitting down to lunch or coffee and you have that on your brain, your RAS, your reticular activating system has been activated, all of a sudden you're like, oh, there we go. We talked about getting more students involved with serving people in our community. That was one of the post-it notes. And so with those conversations, we know what we're looking for, what we're dreaming about. If there was no limits, there was no lid. And then we begin, after we brainstorm all of those positions, we start to just begin, we call it praystorming, praying and brainstorming names of people who could possibly fill those spots, either on our student leadership team or adult leadership team. And we'll put their names on the back of the post-it notes. People in our church that aren't serving yet. And we'll just put them on there. We don't know if they're going to serve, but that also activates our reticular activating system. When we're walking through church and we see, you know, mom and dad of one of our students, and we're like, I put them on the back of one of my post-it notes. What am I going to do? I see them, I stop and I say, hey, my wife and I want to have you over for dinner tonight. Or this week, or in the next couple of weeks. And we just want to hear your story, right? They don't know that their name's on the back of a post-it note, and I'm holding them loosely. I'm not holding them tightly. I'm holding them loosely in my hand. Maybe God's going to speak something different. And then let's say they decide we're going to pray about it. We really think we want to do this. I start sharing stories and vision. I always attach vision to stories. There is a student that really has a heart for this, right? And maybe it's in the serving area. They have a heart for serving and they want to do more. They just sent us a message and said, like, God's really convicted them and their name is Elizabeth. And we really would love for your mentorship and voice in Elizabeth's life as she begins to explore what God has for her in this area, right? Now it's not just, hey, come and help us launch something. It's attached to Elizabeth. So that's just a few thoughts that I have for you in this area. When we begin to look for who's on our team, we're looking for people who have a passion in that specific area. We're not just looking to fill a spot. And I think oftentimes we look to fill a spot first. And I think that's where we get ourselves in trouble.
Yeah. I know you've kind of like touched with a little bit of a system of how you move through somebody who goes, I want to serve. Right. So as you say, you're walking through that system and you've heard their story and all that kind of things, and their heart and their posture to you continues to be the same of, I just want to serve whatever the need, what's the biggest need of the church, right? Like that's just constantly be coming up in their story. It's constantly come up to you. At that moment, are you immediately putting them where that need is? Like, are you going, okay, well, I know like my nursery needs people, right? So it's like, if their posture is constantly there, are you doing that? Or are you kind of like still like trying to figure out why that's the question? Like, why is it their posture? Because I know that the immediate response is like, I'll put you in kids. You know what I mean? Like, I know that I only have two people there. Like, I need a third person there. Or like, how are you handling somebody like that? Cause I know it's always important when you're talking about teams is like, it's one thing to have everyone on the bus. It's different whenever they're in the right seat. And yeah. So how are you handling someone who's constantly just approaching you that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I understand the question correctly, and you can help guide me as I attempt to answer this, what I think what you're asking, but I would say that in an ideal world, we want to apprentice them, right? We call it taking it for a test drive. So you might not like the car after you take it for a test drive. We don't want to like slot you in there for life if it's not a good fit for you. So let's have you shadow some people that are serving in that area. You can ask questions, you can feel it out, you can test drive it. We've done 3 weeks, we've done a month. We have somebody that is interested in being a small group leader in students right now. And we're having them take a test drive. We had them check out a Wednesday night. It's when our youth service is. And we put him in. We, after having that conversation, we felt like he'd be great in mentoring young men, leading a small group. But we're not going to just throw him into that. Number one, we need to know too, you know, just like he's test driving, we're protective shepherds. So we stick him in a mentorship group where he will come underneath another guy, small group leader. And we also have mentors and coaches that lead those small group leaders, and they get to a chance to observe and coach and have coaching moments. Obviously, I've been in this for 20 years. So we have 20 years worth of systems. And I would just say, don't compare your chapter one to my chapter 20. So we have to be careful because we didn't have all this at the beginning. It's taken years. That's the beauty of longevity, though. If I could encourage anyone listening to this today, why longevity is important and sticking it through maybe even hard moments. And I'm at a great healthy church, but we've had some rough moments and we've definitely thought about turning in a resignation letter here. And we've listened to the voice of God and we've stayed and we're blessed by it. We're living the fruit of that. And I'm so thankful for that. And so there's something so powerful that comes with longevity. And so my encouragement is play the long game, especially when it comes to next gen ministry, kids and youth and young adult ministry. Play the long game, because the fruit is that you'll get to be a part of things like that and build systems like that.
Yeah, I've always seen when you speak about longevity and systems, especially, you know, it's you kind of start out with a really wide focus. And the longer you're there, as time progresses, you get narrower and narrower and narrower on like the systems of, you know, check-in. What's it like when somebody, you know, like, how does this work? How do we have this security person? How do we have this person that can do this very specific niche role? Whereas before, if you're only there for a couple, like a year, you're like, I haven't been here long enough to even grasp how big this is and how, or dream what it could be, and then make that then happen, which I think is super cool. So talk to us about, tell us about the implications. Maybe there's a story or a time period in which before you started, you got into this system where you were just kind of like, hey, this person has a pulse, they're breathing, they're an adult, they hit all those check boxes, that's all we need. Tell us a story, because you said, I love stories with vision. Tell us a story of maybe that happening and the implications that had on the students, because we're all here for students. So it's like, how does this impact a student in a negative way, because otherwise you would have kept doing that in that way. Understand that question?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, students have enough people in their lives that have cut out on them and quit on them. We don't have to go on. I don't have to say much more. If you work with students, you know that that's a pain point for them. And so it really comes from the heart of saying, we don't want just a one and done kind of a leader. When you're introducing, you know, think about it, you know, in terms of like a family, a blended family who is introducing someone, they're going to very cautiously protect their kids if they're wise from anyone just coming in, because they're going to want to attach themselves to those leaders. So yes, we've had plenty of leaders that they got the cool factor, or they just seem to be really passionate, but we didn't really get a chance to hear their story. And so we didn't plug them into the best spots, and either they burn out or they fail out. There's some sort of moral failure or something that, you know, and all of those things, we don't have to go very long to talk about how those affect students. When you put people up on pedestals and platforms and forms of leadership, and they're not living a Christ-like life, that we've seen what that does. We've seen that what that does to a student. It's an example. So we really try and be very careful. We also really try and communicate clear expectations. We actually have any volunteers that work specifically with kids or students sign a character covenant, we call it. They don't have to sign that, but we have them sign a character covenant, because and we one-on-one walk them through the why behind the what. This is not just a list of rules. Do not do this, do this. Like, hey, we need you to help understand the heart behind this before you sign up. You don't have to. If you don't agree with these things, don't sign up. Because we don't need to just throw another warm body in here. These kids do not need another warm body or somebody that's going to be flaky. So these are commitments, and you need to take this seriously. So I really feel like we used to do that in like once a year meetings and everyone signed, but the one-on-one's so powerful because they can ask questions and disagree and interact, and we can go through that. I think that's super vital, especially in today's day and age, is newer generations understanding the why behind the what of those, that character covenant. So painful moments. I actually just was at a pastor's mastermind here the last couple of days, and I had some moments with God where I realized I have some pain from students over the last couple of years who have walked away from the Lord. And I can point back to some leaders that were part of that. Their example or lack thereof. We had people in positions, and as a shepherd, I'm very protective, and I didn't realize how much those students leaving and walking away from their faith and some of the stuff we had to deal with those leaders about affected me. but I had tears over it. I'm just being honest. Like, that really weighed heavy on my heart, because, and maybe, just maybe, I think this is where God was speaking to me. I've been a little bit more guarded. I put up some walls, and I have not worn my heart out there as warmly as I maybe would have before, because we kind of want to protect ourselves, right? And so I think that's why it's so important to go slower and to make sure you get the right people in the right spots and not just throw somebody in because they're available. Now, with that said, there is some easy on-ramps for volunteers that maybe just want to get their feet wet, right? I'm not going to put them in to be a small group leader, but if you want to help serve in the cafe where you're not getting a lot of touch with the kids, and I don't have to worry about that as much, or somebody is newer in their faith and they want to volunteer. So we also identify positions that anyone can serve that are easy on-ramps for people that are just wanting to maybe dabble in the shallow end of volunteering. So.
Okay. So you talked about, you know, just recently processing through and remembering like students that walked away from their faith and going like, okay, there were some leaders a part of it. And then you went, me, the leader. Like you said, you were talking about yourself. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit. Like, let's talk about how, because I was like, it's really easy to go, well, it was that leader's fault. It was somebody else's fault. But then recognizing like, I'm part of this possible problem. Like,
yeah,
I was the one that shepherded it in this way, or I was unaware.
Yeah.
What do you, okay, maybe be raw with this a little bit. Like, what are you processing through on that? Of like, what do you do different? How do you change your way? How do you see your role in this grand scheme of bringing a bunch of people in?
Yeah. We have a grave responsibility as leaders and shepherds, especially with the generation that God's entrusted to us, to protect the sheep. And I think there was moments, if I were to just own what I could own, where I felt things in my gut about a certain leader that I didn't follow, because I'm a believe the best kind of guy. Like, I'm wired to believe the best. I have a lot of grace for people. I see greatness in everyone to a fault. So I also have to listen to those checks in my gut and what God is trying to speak to me about people and follow those. Or if my wife is saying, hey, I just got a funny feeling about this, and dig in. The three in me doesn't want to have all of those tough conversations either, right? So I have no problem having crucial conversations, but when it could cause pain to somebody that we might need to take them out of a position that I probably could have been a little bit more responsible and not as quick to put them into a position of leadership, been a lot more discipleship leading up to that process, then I have to own that and I have to do better. Now that I know better, I have to do better. Maya Angelou says that. And I think we're seeing the ramifications of that with a lot of church leadership these days, including all the spark that just happened with everything that happened in Atlanta and a lot of the feedback. And I think we cannot just quickly dismiss things. We have to look at, where do I need to own this? And what do I need to do to make sure that we don't go back here again? And so I think that's so vital and such a great question.
Yeah. Well, hey, would you unpack? So you said you've been doing this for 20 years and I love your statement, because I tell people, whether they're looking at me in my walk with God or like my ministry position, is don't compare your chapter one to my chapter whatever, right? Like, I love that statement. But like, what chapter were you going, better teams is the secret sauce? Like, what chapter? Like, were you at chapter one going like, I'm not moving until I have a team, or all of a sudden like you're kind of building a team in the air? What does that look like for John?
Oh, I was a mess, you guys. Such a great question. I was the guy, I remember when I launched the middle school ministry and I'm running back to the sound booth and running up to the front to take the announcements and run the game. And I made all the mistakes. I'll just be super, super honest. I can laugh about it. But I remember doing that for a couple of weeks and going, I cannot continue to do this. If there's anything that I did right in ministry, it was learn real young that I'm only as good as the people that I surround myself with, specifically speaking to mentors. I have been a lifelong pursuer of mentors and coaches. I realize my limitations. I realize my proclivity to try and do everything with crazy excellence. And if it's not going to be done right, I'll just do it myself. I was doing that in the early years a lot, but I had some incredible mentors that I invited in. I had them come and watch our service, which again, for three on the Enneagram who wants to make everything look great, I felt naked. I was like, oh, you're going to come and pick my service apart. I know all the things that I got to do better, but that was so vital to have some of those mentors and coaches come and see what we were doing and how I was leading staff meetings and meetings and help me to do better, help me to see where the holes were and how I could grow. And that was one of the first things. When I have somebody who is in their chapter 20 helping me in my chapter one or two, then I don't have to make all those mistakes. I can actually kind of skip some chapters ahead through their leadership and their voice in my life. Like those of you who are listening to this clubhouse or this podcast, maybe later on, you're getting to do and you're getting to learn from some of these mistakes that I've made and the others that are on the podcast as guests have made. And I would just say that's huge, is that you would invite people in and you would really make yourself open and vulnerable to their feedback. Don't just ask them to coach or mentor you in some areas. Ask them to be very specific and be honest with them about the areas that you see, and maybe invite them to come in as almost like a consultant and see and observe, because they're going to see things that you might go to them if you're just meeting with them one-on-one or on Zooms and tell them all the things you think, but then they come and see things. So that was one I didn't see. They saw it and they helped me to grow in those areas and begin to build teams and what that looks like. So,
yeah. And I think you said something there, you know, you talked about how you were running back to, you know, do the computer and the sound, and then you're running up to the game and you're coming down to introduce worship and you're doing all these things. For now, this is kind of a two-sided question. One, were you doing that because you didn't have people, or you did have people and you just didn't delegate that to them? Or two, could you speak to the person who maybe the chapter one, John, or the person that might be listening to this going, but I just feel like I don't have anybody. Right. Like I feel like there's two, it's twofold, right? Where it's like, one, people crave people to want to be with them and they don't feel like they're getting that. Or two, they have that, but they don't know how to delegate it. So which part was it for you? And then what would you say to that person, maybe on both sides of that?
Yeah. Early on, it was, we simply didn't have volunteers. We were new. I mean, those were the first couple of weeks of launching the middle school service. I felt a frustration with that and knew I was going to burn myself out trying to continue to do that. So I did do exactly what I told you. I started meeting with people and hearing their story and starting to get them plugged in. And I would say for anyone who's in the spot, you don't have a lot of volunteers, to just take that and schedule one a week. I mean, if we're going to do the slight edge, if you did one a week, that's 52 coffee or lunch dates, hangouts. I mean, if you don't have the money, invite them over to your house and brew a pot right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can figure it out. You're in youth ministry. And I would just say, like, those 52 a year, you're not going to see all of those people not sign up and volunteer. So stop trying to get all of them in and just start somewhere. Take the first step, just the baby step. Schedule one a week. Make that your goal. If you're an overachiever, then go for two. When you walk through on a Sunday, walk through more slowly, walk through with your antennas up and look for people that you see that you could just invite to coffee or invite to lunch. And I will say this, stop putting the pressure on yourself to get somebody. Because then you are like a used car salesman and nobody wants to hang out with a used car salesman. Make the win that you scheduled the meeting and you heard their story. Make that the win. And as you do that, you'll care for people. You'll love them well. You'll be good at what you do. And out of that is going to come some genuine friendships, connections, allies for your ministry. If they don't sign up, at the very least, they're going to be an ally for your ministry. And that's going to be awesome. And so I would say start there for those of you who don't feel like you have a lot of volunteers. Now, as I begin to add them, I was also the video editor guy. So I'm like editing videos for our middle school service and, you know, trying to do all of that as well as prepare a message. And what I noticed is my message was suffering because I was making all these cool videos and I loved it. I mean, I thought I was pretty good at it until I started having students make videos. I'm like, I'm terrible at this. I should have given this away a long time ago. And so the book Next Generation Leader by Andy Stanley really helped me to realize I had to do only the things that I could do. And so I had to be brutally honest with the help of mentors about those things that only I could do. And one of those was not video editing. I should not have been the video editor guy. I shouldn't have been doing all of that. So that's where I started with the post-it note stuff of like, okay, what am I all doing? Let's just start there that I shouldn't be doing. And what are the things that only I can do? And so all of those things that I was doing that I shouldn't be doing went up on post-it notes. So that kind of, those conversations blended together.
That's solid. Okay. So we're going to wrap up here on this part. But I've got one question for you and to wrap up here, and then we'll jump to the clubhouse conversation. For those of you that are in on the clubhouse room, we're going to open it up to do Q&A. So if you've got something, maybe you've had a burning question this whole time as you've been listening to us talk, raise your hand. We'd love to bring you up to have you ask the question. But John, one of the things you've said along the way and thing that resonates with me, and I think about a lot, especially when it comes to volunteers, when we used to essentially, you would beg people to come in and just, you'd go, please, we just need anybody. And the way I saw that, it was like, you're essentially asking for band-aids to put over the problem. And all of us have worn band-aids and worn it for the life and watched it just like fall off. It gets dirty, it gets tired, it drops off, and it really doesn't solve the problem. It just kind of covers it up for a limited time. And so I love that you've been speaking and just harping on this of like, hear their story, find, you know, cast that vision, put them in a spot that meets them in their passions. I think of Dave Ferguson's book, Exponential, where he kind of, they unpack this whole thing. When I read that, I was like, yes, this is how we're supposed to do this. So what's one thing, the question is, what's one thing maybe you haven't mentioned yet that you're like, I've been waiting to say this. Maybe you've said it all so far, but is there anything else that you're like, I got to share this real quick before we roll, before we wrap up?
You guys ask such great questions. I love this. This is awesome. And that's such a great question as well. You mentioned Dave Ferguson, his book Hero Maker is another one that I could not, you hang out with me for more than 5 minutes, I'm going to recommend about 5 books to you. So I think I've hit my quota of 5 so far, even the ones that I can't remember. So I would say that book was significant to me, and that would be a next level, right? If you are the only recruiter, then your ministry is only going to be that deep. The next level for some of you who are ready to level up is beginning to train your leaders, your volunteers, even your student leaders to do the same thing. How cool would it be if you had a team of 10 and maybe you didn't challenge them to do one a week, but maybe you challenged them to do one a month, right? If you had 10 people doing this very same thing, hearing people's story, one a month, 12, so 12 over the course of a year, that's 120 versus your 52. Or you're 52 plus the 120, right? So that's powerful. And I would just encourage you that it's not that hard to train on this. Take and maybe listen to this podcast a couple of times and write down some of the steps or your system. And I would just encourage you to involve more people in the process. One of the things that God spoke to me several years ago on this subject was the woman who had the oil. And it was Elisha, I believe, right? That said to her, go and get, he asked her to make him something. She's like, I'm out of oil. And he said, go and ask for containers. And she went and begged her neighbors and all of her friends. And they all brought the containers back. And what was convicting to me is the moment that the oil ran out was the moment that they ran out of containers. And I was like, what if they would have kept getting containers? Like, what if they would have been more creative? What if they would have invited more leaders to be a part of being the container grabbers? And so for me, that speaks to me as our leadership, our students' growth, not numbers wise and discipleship wise in depth, is going to be directly proportionate to the quality and the number of leaders that we have. It's no secret. Instead of me jamming 20 middle school guys into a small group, if I had three more leaders and I could split those 20 into groups of five, there's going to be way more quality conversation with five middle school guys versus 20, right? So we don't even have to argue that point. So the more containers that we have, the more we begin to see God pour out and bless. Why? Because we're showing him that we're being faithful with what he's given us. And if we're faithful with what he's given us, that's an unbeaten principle. Then he will make us faithful over more. And so that's really just something that why this particular subject gets me fired up. So thanks for asking that question, allowing me to kind of speak to that a little bit more.
Of course. Yeah. That's, that's legit. I'm fired up just listening to you speak. I'm like, man, this is awesome. The way that you've described it, these stories, these are super cool. Okay. So we want to wrap up here in the podcast arena, or what a ear space, as sometimes we call it. Drop your pluggables real quick on how people can connect with you, and also talk about your Clubhouse like reoccurring time, because maybe people will hear that and jump on that platform.
Yeah, thanks guys. I appreciate it. I'm at PJohn on Instagram and Twitter. John Brown is my name. If you're a Facebook person, PJohn, PJON. And the students have called me that for forever. So I even play softball with guys that don't go to our church, and they call me PJohn. And someone was like, wait, why do we call you PJohn? Like, what's that all about? It's Pastor John. Oh, I didn't know that. 2 years later, they're asking that question. So at PJohn, and then on Clubhouse, it's John_Brown. And we do, my buddy Aaron Holt and I do, between the two of us, have almost 50 years of youth ministry experience. So I've only been in 20, so he's the larger portion of that. But I have lots of great conversations. That's every Thursday at 2:00, except for this week, because he is doing a training. So we'd love to have you join us at 2:00 Central Time. It would be 3:00 Eastern. And just love being a part of this community. Love those of you who've jumped on and been a part of this conversation. It's been more of a one-sided conversation up to this point, but would love to hear maybe some questions if this is speaking to you, or some specifics that you'd like. So,
yeah. Well, John, thanks for jumping in on this. We're going to move to the Clubhouse spot. Yo, so I am amped up after that conversation. That was super cool. It was super cool for a lot of reasons. Mostly the content. I love the conversation with John and his heart for building better teams. The things that he stated about being a shepherd and being a gatekeeper, and the one really taking ownership of protecting students and nurturing and shepherding them into a deeper relationship with Jesus. That was huge, huge. There's so many things we could talk about, but I was also really amped up because of the conversation that we also were having on Clubhouse. Maybe you haven't heard about Clubhouse, brand new platform within the last year. I think it just turned a year old, but it's all about conversation. And if you didn't catch it at the beginning, I'll remind you here, we were live on Clubhouse, so people were listening. And then afterwards, we had a Q&A time just for the Clubhouse audience. So maybe there was some chance for you to jump in with us during that time. If you were with us, awesome. If you weren't with us, we'd love to have you in on those spaces in the future. Be on the lookout for those things. They're kind of flash sale sort of thing. But ultimately, the conversation with John was incredible. I hope that you were encouraged by it. I hope that you were energized by it. I hope that you took some notes. I sure took a lot of notes as I can apply some of these things in my own context. Maybe you have to go back to this. We hope you do. Maybe there was also something that you heard and you were encouraged by, or there was something that you caught that thought, you know what, somebody else needs to hear it. Share it with people. We'd love for that to go out, because this is a free resource for you. We don't make any money on it. We're not selling any products. We're just trying to help each other out, because ultimately we're not alone. You're not alone. We're in this together. Even if we're in different parts of the country, even if we're in our own small spaces currently, we're in this together, and you are not alone. We've got spaces in your community where other leaders gather digitally, physically, or whatever that smash word is that has come up. They would love to be in community with you. So if you're not in a network, jump on our website. We'd love for you to search and find. We've given you the ability to find some networks that are in your spaces to be able to share ideas, resources, basically build relationships in a way that you can build a community of other trusted leaders in, that you can do ministry alongside of. Our hope and our prayer is that you have that and you find that, and that you're being replenished each day, because the thing that we've been saying all along, and we'll continue to say it, is that you can't pour from an empty cup. And so the more you pour into yourself, the more you're able to pour out to others, which in turn turns to really good, healthy, productive teams. And that's what it's all about. So thanks for joining us. Look out for these on the, in the future. We'll see you next time. Peace, blessings.